We'd like to do a little review of what we had last week. We want to remember some of the things that we went over. We kind of went over it kind of fast. And this picture, does anyone remember seeing this picture? One. Thank you. Okay, we notice, we see here the camp, the 12 tribes of Israel, down at the base of Mount Sinai. And in the center we have the tabernacle in place here. And we notice I'd like to have it enlarged, but I don't think we can do that. But right around here we have the Levites, the four families of Levites. Right in the front here we have the tent of Moses and Aaron and his sons, and the Levites that were in charge of the tabernacle, taking care of the tabernacle, guarding the tabernacle. We also notice where it's located at the base of Mount Sinai, and it's the very center point of the camp. God wanted to be in the very heart of his people. He wanted to be located centrally. We may notice also the cloud representing the presence of God, also the power of God. Whenever they could see this cloud, they realized God is here. It represented the presence of God, also the power of God. And later on, we'll realize that the provision of God is also in there. And also a witness. It was a witness for them as well as anyone else who might look and see. This was a very unusual thing. They estimate that the number of these people were about 2 to 2.5 million people. They also believe that this many people would take up about an area of 12 square miles. They would have the cloud. They would have the cloud at the day that would tend to give shade from the heat of the sun, and at night they would have the fire. The cloud would appear as a fire, and give them light. Okay. And this is another kind of a close-up of the tabernacle. We see here it depicting the tent of Moses and the tents for Aaron and his sons. And the Levites, the other three families of Levites here, the Kohathites, the Gershonites, and the Merarites. And we want to notice here the orientation here that the tabernacle was always oriented toward the eastern sky. And we think of the eastern sky as the coming of the sun of righteousness. If you remember, we talked last time about Moses. And he's up here on the Mount Sinai as he's looking up into heaven. God is giving him this pattern that he wants him to fashion this tabernacle after. And it was a very precise pattern. He was looking up into heaven, seeing things in the heavenlies. Also, before he goes down, the Lord is going to give him the tables of stone. It's the perfect moral law of God, written with the finger of God, and he's going to take these stones down, and they're going to be placed into the Ark of the Covenant under the mercy seat. Does Just a question. Does anyone remember who this particular fellow is represented here? Bezaleel. Okay. And who was Bezaleel? He was the fellow that the Lord gave a special filling of the Holy Spirit so that he could do all this workmanship with precision and accuracy. And he was the one that was to be the leader the Lord was going to draw from among the congregation, wise-hearted, he said, wise-hearted men, so that they could do this construction of the tabernacle under the leadership of Bezaleel. And also, he gave him a helper, Aholiab. Now here we see here Moses and Aaron, and the idea that he's looking over the plan, some of the plans they have there that has been given to him through the pattern. Does anyone have an idea what this picture is basically about? For the atonement money. A willing offering for the atonement money. Not that they're paying for salvation. It was a willing offering for the atonement money. This, here we have Moses, we see Aaron, the high priest here. All the men, it says, ages 20 and above were to give half a shekel. That amounts to 10 gerahs. There's 20 gerahs in a shekel. So half a shekel, 10 gerahs, and they gave it willingly. And it amounted to such an amount of silver that all the silver that was used for under the tabernacle structure, for everything that it was made of the silver, came from this money, this offering. It amounted to 100 talents of silver, of which about 86 was the foundation under the structure of the tabernacle. I think I thought maybe you had a handout on this, but maybe not. We want to notice here. No, this is. I'm sorry. This is. Yes. There we go. Thank you, sir. Now here is an enlargement of the sanctuary, and we want to notice that it is all sanctuary. It is the outer court. There's three parts. You have the outer court, you have the holy place, and behind the veil you have the Holy of Holies, and all three parts of this is sanctuary. It was encompassed here by a curtain, and it had a gate on the eastern side, 20 cubits. It was 100 cubits long. It was 50 cubits wide. And the prospective tribes then were located in their allotted position. And we might notice the articles of furniture as we come in through the gate. The first article we would come to would be the brazen altar. And then between the brazen altar and the door of the tabernacle, we come to the brazen laver. And also then when we go into the holy place, there are three articles: the table of showbread, the golden altar, and the golden lampstand. Then we go behind the veil. And what is behind the veil? Does anyone remember what's behind the veil? Very important piece. The Ark of the Covenant. And what's on the Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat, where God will meet with man. Okay, it also appears here that this area between the gate And the tribes here was kind of like a meeting place. Whenever they would call for an assembly, this is where they would gather. They would gather there, not necessarily all 2.5 million of them, but representatives, so that they could get instruction and understand what the Lord wants them to do. We did have one before this, but we're going to get to that in just a little bit. This one here, I think, is the picture that we were working on when we ended last week. what we want to show here is the curtain that surrounded the outer court. Now we see here the gate of entry, 20 cubits, and the curtain was made of fine twined linen, very white, beautiful fine twined linen, and it started at one side of the gate, and it went all the way around to the other. It was 10 curtains, and they were 28 cubits apiece. You hook them all together, and you've got 280 cubits of curtain. And they were held up by these pillars here. It says that they were made of brass, and they had brass bases. They were set in brass bases. They also were steadied by these cords, and they had pegs. And it's the pegs, it's were estimated to be a cubit, about 18 inches. And the idea of an Old Testament cubit was from the tip of a man's finger to his elbow. The average man, about 18 inches. So they had a large, how would you say, tent peg, and they would drive that into the ground, probably about halfway, and about half of it would be sticking up. And it would go up to the top here and be fastened so that these here would give more steadiness and rigidity. And the caps are made of silver. And the hanging here, the curtain, was hung by silver hooks that was attached to these rods that went from post to post here. And it would keep the distance would be equal between each post. We mentioned also that the gate here had four pillars, and it was also capped with silver here. The total number of the pillars around the outer court was 60 pillars, 10 on the ends and 20 on each side. Now let us before we start to examine this, let us look here, turn our Bible here to Exodus chapter 27, verses 1. And let us read, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with brass. And thou shalt make his pans to receive his ashes, and his shovels, and his basins, and his flesh hooks, and his fire pans, and all the vessels thereof thou shalt make of brass. And thou shalt make for it a grate of network of brass, and upon the net shall thou make 4 brazen rings in the 4 corners thereof. And thou shalt put it upon under the compass of the altar beneath, that the net maybe even to the midst of the altar, and thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with brass, and the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the two sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was showed thee in the mount, so shall they make it. We want to realize that this article here was made, the brazen altar was made of acacia wood, a very dense, a very hard wood. It had such a reputation as being incorruptible. The bugs wouldn't eat it, it wouldn't rot, water didn't seem to bother it. It was a very durable, hard wood. Also, it says that it was overlaid with brass. And it has come to light in recently that when you take a hardwood like this and you cover it with a metal such as brass, and they do it, the term is hermetically sealed. And when it is done that way, this wooden box becomes basically fireproof. It won't burn. You remember 40 years through the desert, and that's just the time it was in the desert, there was continually sacrifices and fire in this here, but it stayed just as good in the end as it was in the beginning. We notice here too that the distance here, we have 5 cubits, that's about 7.5 feet, 4 square. The height of it was 3 cubits, 4.5 feet tall. We notice here the staves, and they were all covered with brass. And we want to see the grate here. We believe the grate being in the center of it. The staves here, as we mentioned, were for the carrying on the shoulders. It was never to be taken in wagons or any other way. It was to be carried on the shoulder. There is other pieces, too, that are also that way, especially the Ark of the Covenant. We want to notice here, too, the shovels and the pans, the fire pans, and the pans to catch the blood, the flesh hooks, and the different utensils that were made, the censers that were to carry fire from off the altar, and they would take the fire into the golden altar inside, and they would burn the incense from the fire that was taken from off the altar. No other fire was ever allowed. It had to be that fire. Something else we don't want to miss is the horns. These horns were not there just for decoration. We think of the horns symbolic. We think of the horns symbolic of power and of strength, salvation and security. And there was 2 sacrifices in particular where the blood, the sin offering and the trespass offering, where the priest would actually take a little bit of the blood and he would put it on the horns. Now think with me. The man comes in to offer his sacrifice. The blood is put on the horns, horns representing power, salvation, strength. And the man, is not this the man putting his faith in the power of the blood for his salvation by the grace of God? I say it is. I think the Lord will back that up. There's the faith. The Old Testament saints, Old Testament believers, it was by faith. Salvation has always been by faith. They had faith in the blood that it would wash away their sins, it would cleanse them, atone, it would cover their sins, Back then, it was only for 1 year. They had to do it each year. You remember the Passover. Thought came to my mind about the Passover. And it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. So let's now take a look at the laver. Let's go to Exodus chapter 30. Verses 17, Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 through 11. I'm sorry, 17 through 21. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put away, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Well, we don't know. It doesn't give the size or the shape of this laver, but we do know that it held water. We do know that it had a foot, and these were both made of brass. And that there is an indication that rather than just come up and start washing as though it's a sink, that it's possible, if you take, now see the little bowl right there? It's possible that the priest could come up and actually take the bowl and dip it in and there wash his hands and his feet. It's also been suggested the possibility that there could have been a spout there where they could have opened the spout and gotten water coming from the top and washing their hands and their feet. We want to take a notice here of, does anyone know what the laver was made from, what it was made of? The looking glasses, the brass looking glasses of the women. They gave a free offering of these looking glasses, and they were probably very highly polished. And so this was probably a very, very highly polished article here. And we notice too if you'll notice in Exodus 30 and 19, where it talks, we just mentioned this, that for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and feet thereat. And that's why some believe that they didn't actually wash. It doesn't say they shall wash in, but that they shall wash thereat. Okay, and another thing, the priest, the high priest, when he was ordained, he would come and stand before this laver. And Moses, if I'm not mistaken, Moses would wash him from top to bottom. Thereafter, all he needed to do then was wash his hands and his feet. But every time before he went to the altar or before he went into the holy place, he had to do this that he die not. He dare not overlook this. And he didn't. Now, on the Day of Atonement, now that's another time when he would, before he would go in to offer sacrifice for himself and for the camp, he would again wash himself completely. That was once a year. We think of Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1. It says, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." And they took it very seriously. The idea of the cleansing every time before the any work was done was the hands representing the work of the hands and the feet, the walk of the feet. And the daily, it was done daily before each thing that they would do. They would make sure that they had clean hands and clean feet for their work and for their walk. There we go. I believe we did see this last time. And so before we start the examination there, let's take a look at Exodus chapter 26. Pardon me. Exodus 26, verses 15. We're going to read down to 30. "And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side, southward, and thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards." Remember now, these sockets, these were not just little pieces of silver. They were about 100 pounds per socket. You've got 2 sockets under a board. These boards were very good-sized boards. They were 15 feet tall, 10 cubits tall. They were covered with gold, probably hermetically sealed. And we don't know for sure the thickness of the board, but we do know that it was 1.5 cubits. Anybody know how long a cubit is? 18 inches. Okay, so if you got 1.5, what do you got? 27-inch wide board, 15 feet tall. The historian Josephus indicates that they're about 4 inches thick, okay? I haven't found anyone else that I've heard estimates of anywhere from 7 to 9 inches, but they were, I would say, at least a minimum of 4 inches thick. These were really good slabs of wood here. Okay, let's continue on here. Now these, it says two tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. Does anyone know what a tenon is? I'm sure you do. You've seen a board where it was it had a little cutout here so that it had a protrusion here of the wood here, and this wood, that's the tenon that would fit into the silver socket. And thou, verse 18, "And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side southward. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards, and 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides, and they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. Thus shalt it be for them both, they shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end, and thou shalt overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was showed thee in the mount. we got these silver sockets, which were 100 pounds, approximately 96 to 100 pounds of weight of these sockets, 2 under each board. We've got 20 boards on this side. We've got 20 boards on this side. We have 40 sockets under here, 40 sockets under there. The gold is up here. The silver is here. On the end, we've got 6 boards, and we've got a corner board, which makes 8 boards, and there was 16 sockets of silver under the end boards. We also have the rings with the rods that went through, giving it more stability and more integrity. We want to take a look here at the entrance here. We're going to do a little more on the entrance here. We have the 5 pillars at the entrance, and they are not on silver now. They are on brass. We also want to note that where the veil was that separated the holy place from the most holy place, it is 1, 2, 3, and there's 4. There's 4 pillars there. And that is to hold up the curtain, the veil, that's going to separate these 2 rooms. There we go. Okay, let's turn over to chapter 26 of Exodus, 36 and 37. And thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging 5 pillars of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold. And thou shalt cast 5 sockets of brass for them. As we pointed out in the other here, we've got the 5 pillars seated on brass. Up here we have the gold that's going to hold the door. And this door, it's a curtain made of fine twined linen. But it also it's a little bit different than the curtain that surrounds the courtyard, because it has the added colors of blue, purple, and scarlet. And this is We don't know the exact pattern that was on there, but we do know the material it was made of. We do know the colors that was in it. It was a very, how would you say, exquisite work that under the leadership of Bezaleel, who was given this filling of the Holy Spirit so that he could work this. It was a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful curtain. There is indication that when the priest would go in, when they would enter in, they would actually go up and reach down and lift up the curtain and enter in that way. What is the first thing they're going to see? They're going to see the brass. But once inside, what did they see? It was all gold and silver. The beauty sometimes is on the inside more so than the outside. Thank you. Now let's take a look here. Let's go a little further with this and take a look at Exodus. Just back up a little bit in the same chapter, Exodus 26, verses 1. We're going to read 1 through 14. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet. Here we have the colors again with the fine twined linen. Now we got an addition here. It says, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The addition now of the cherubim. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The 5 curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another, and thou shalt make loops of blue. Got the color blue there. Upon the edge of one curtain from the sleevage in the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make in the uppermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain. These loops are so that these curtains now are going to be tied together and make one unit. And 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, and the loops, that the loops may hold one to another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold. Mark that down. Make that a memory note. And couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shall double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. Basically, it would overhang into the front of the tabernacle, at the front of the tabernacle by the door. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. Sounds similar to the first. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of, not gold this time, but brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the back side of the tabernacle. And a cubit on the one side and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins. You want to notice the primary, the beautiful curtain, the first one, is made of the fine twined linen with the colors, the blue, the scarlet, the purple, and the scarlet. And it has the cherubims embroidered into this curtain. It was a very beautiful curtain, and that is the first one that goes over. And it is attached together with gold. Keep that in mind. The attachments, the little loops that bring these two together is attached with gold. Now then, as a covering over this, and it's indicated that this second one is made from goat's hair. It's not goat skins, goat hides. It's goat hair that is made into a curtain. Now, this one here is put together, is held together, two parts held together by brass, little brass catches. It's not gold this time, it's brass. And the color, no doubt, of this was black. Goats in the Middle East, especially that time, even today, mostly black. We also notice now, it is called the tent. From the time that the structure is covered with the first beautiful curtain, and then it is overlaid with the second curtain, it becomes a tent. The goat hair curtain makes it a tent. And it says then to cover this tent that they were to make ram's skins dyed red. And also then to top it off, another covering of badger skins. This badger skin didn't look all that pretty from the outside. Actually, it was kind of dull and drab, no doubt. But it was a very durable, a very tough skin. It would protect from the heat. It would protect from the winds and the rains and the cold. It was to be a covering, a protection. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, let's consider now. There was four curtains that made this into a tent, especially after the goat's hair curtain, and then the others. It was a completed tent. Okay. And before we close, let us make a note that we study the tabernacle because it was intended to signify spiritual realities. In the study of the tabernacle, we see shadows of heavenly things, we see patterns of things in heaven, and we see figures of the true. The time of the tabernacle was a time of types and symbols. I'm sorry. The time of the tabernacle was a time of types and shadows. And a man, pardon me, a man can come in to the, as we study, we see that a man can come in to God, and God can reach out to man, and that's our study of the tabernacle, to see how that man can be invited in to God, and we see God reaching out to man, and we believe that it shows good things to come, and Lord willing, we're going to study some of those good things to come as represented by these types and shadows and pictures that we see in this wonderful work of the wilderness tabernacle as found in the Old Testament. were